Freeman. Dropping is Freeman. Throws the long ball downfield toward Mike Williams. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
Perfect throw, Freeman. And a great route by Michael Williams.
Now Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Steve Dooming.
Well, good evening. Welcome in. It is the latest edition of Buccaneers Total Access. TJ Reeves with you here on this Thursday night, and it is good to be joined once more by the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Josh Freeman, with us here for the full hour as we get ready for the Bucs and the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Good to be with you here once again, number five.
Hey, what's going on?
Ready to get after it one more time here in 2012. We got one game remaining. We got one show remaining. We got one game. Can you believe, the season is coming to a close. 2012 coming to a close, and this is the final game of 2012, Josh Freeman.
Yeah, no doubt. And, it's crazy. Like you said, it really has flown by. It seems like yesterday we were gearing up to head up to New York or playing Carolina the first game, and man, it really flies.
Yeah, it does go by fast. And again, this will end it on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, being around town here for the last week or so, fans are curious, and you guys can speak to this. Gerald McCoy was talking about it last night, that you guys, you have one game remaining. You are professionals. You're going about your business. Just elaborate on what it's been like around the building, in the locker room, out on the practice field this week with one game to go. You know there are not playoff implications in this game, but what about it? What about the approach as professionals, Josh?
You know, the approach, I think it goes beyond being professionals. And you talk about, it's not for playoffs. I mean, everybody around is going to say, oh, they're not playing for anything, the game doesn't mean anything, but you know, it means a lot to the guys on our team. It means a lot to the guys in our building, and we've been working extremely hard this week, you know, trying to nail this game plan, trying to make our last game of 2012 a memorable one.
That's the idea, as the Bucs get set to rematch the Atlanta Falcons, what was a wild game at Raymond James Stadium back at the end of November, and we get ready for that one on Sunday. By the way, you can join us on the phones. Here's how you do it, same way you have all season long. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, wherever you can hear the show outside the Tampa Bay area. 1-800-596-2820. 27 is the toll-free number. You can also tweet in a question if you like at Buck Sideline Guy. Tweet me one, a question or a comment there. We'll pass it along to Josh, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, for that here on the evening. So, you know, as you get ready to play this game on Sunday with a division opponent, a team that you're familiar with, just take me through what that's like, because you've done it twice already with Carolina in a rematch and the Saints in a rematch. You've seen the Falcons once already. Does it make things easier for this matchup coming up?
Anytime you play the Falcons, a team like Atlanta, the success they've been having, never going to be an easy game. But as far as preparation, just seeing how they played and their tendencies the first time we played them versus the second time, and different looks and different pressures and different wrinkles and stuff that they've shown as of late. It definitely makes it, you're more familiar with them as a team.
Do you look at certain situations from the last game and say, you know, this is where we've got to be better? This is where we've got to do something differently? How particular do you get in a rematch with a division opponent that you've seen already earlier in the year with that?
Yeah, no question. And there were a couple instances where maybe they brought a pressure that we hadn't seen, or we didn't have an audible in place to gash him or hit a big play. But, you know, like things are like that, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you cover, and you kind of really, you have a great feel. So, you know what you're trying to do.
This team has played a lot of wild games against the Atlanta Falcons over the history really of the rivalry in the NFC South, but specifically since you've been part of this rivalry. We have seen, I go all the way back to your rookie year in a game that arguably in 2009 at the end, you know what I'm talking about, where you had led the team down for a go-ahead score, and I believe they had 9 plays. It was either 8 or 9 plays, Josh, inside the 10-yard line because there were 2 automatic first down calls that gave them a new set of downs on first and goal or whatever. Oh, yeah. And they finally scored on a 4th down with like 20 seconds left to seemingly snatch away what would have been a great win at the end of that season. Can you put your finger on why the Bucs and Falcons play so many back and forth, close, wild games as it seems like it has been over the last 3 years or 4 years?
You know, I'm not sure. And I'm trying to think, who was it? Was it Chris Redman? Was that
Yeah, it may have been Redman, and I want to say Roddy White caught the touchdown on 4th down at the end of 2009, right?
Double slants. Yeah, I remember that. I remember like it was yesterday.
You're mad at me now because I'm bringing up bad memories from 2009, aren't you?
A little bit, no. Trying to think. What was the other one? The other one was...
You had a game in 2010 where a couple of 3rd and goal and 4th and goal opportunities with LeGarrette Blount. In that one, this game this past year... November, 4 or 5 weeks ago, could have gone either way in the fourth quarter. It just seemed to be wild games with the Falcons.
Yeah, I know, and it's talk about divisional opponents, and the Falcons are a team that, they're a really good team, but we feel like we know them, we feel like we match up well with them, and always looking for a nice, tough competition, nice, tough game.
All right, again, that is Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman here as this evening unfolds. We're going to talk more about Atlanta. I want to talk a little bit about the end of this season. And, of course, the Pro Bowl, this is something that we can also hit on. The Pro Bowl teams have now been announced. They were announced last evening, and we found out that Gerald McCoy was named a starter on the defensive side of the ball. And then as alternates, Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin off of the offense as receiver and running back were named as alternates, their first time in as alternates. And then Rondé Barber, the ageless wonder, also in as an alternate. And all three of those guys are in some combination could be there depending on injuries or whatever with other players in front of them. So... what does it mean as a player and as a part of the 53-man roster when teammates get recognized like this by other opponents in the NFC? Josh, what does that mean?
It means a lot. It means a lot, and you take a lot of pride in those guys are your teammates. Doug had a tremendous year, as everybody knows, and also Vincent. Vincent coming in and first time working with me, first time in the system, and to put up the numbers and have the year that he had. I was surprised that he wasn't a starter on the NFC team.
Yeah, and Doug Martin, say a little more about him coming in as a rookie, who, again, not a lot of people in this area may have followed Boise State and known what he could do, but boy, did he. He made obviously an impact early on, even going back to preseason on the Buccaneer fans, and obviously the NFC defensive players and coaches took notice in what Doug Martin was able to do in his rookie year.
Yeah, and that speaks a lot about Doug. Doug's a hardworking guy, guy that comes in and he's a rookie, but he doesn't view it like that. He's gonna go out and play the best ball that he can play, and when Doug's playing his best ball, it's pretty darn good.
Again, we're here with you on this Thursday night, and we'll take your phone calls and much more, and. We'll progress on throughout the evening here. We'll kind of wrap up the season, too. Final installment of Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman here on this Thursday night as the regular season finale takes place at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. We will pause here and be back. We'll also maybe find out what Josh was up to on the Christmas holiday as well. I know it's an exciting time with the holiday time in and around for Buck fans or whatever. We'll see. Gerald McCoy was bragging about getting this this airplane that he got last night, the remote control airplane that he's been flying around his house. We'll find out if Josh got anything cool like that as we go along, if he wants to reveal it. We'll find out. It's Total Access. We'll see. It is a Thursday night, and we'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
20WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
I formation. Williams in motion from the left side. Play action fake. Sold by Freeman. Dropping Freeman. Freeman looking. Throws a pass. Wide open receiver. Caught by Williams. 50. Down the far side. Line outside the numbers. 30. To the 25. To the 20. Cuts it inside to the 15. To the 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown Tampa Bay.
Call of Mean Gene Deckerhoff Sunday in the Eagles game on the catch and run there by Mike Williams for the 61-yard touchdown. Welcome back. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on this Thursday with number 5, Josh Freeman. We'll get to your phone calls in a couple of moments, but hey, let's talk about that play there that is a catch and run for 6 points. I'm sure that you you enjoyed the result. You enjoyed getting to watch that on the tape. What about that play and how good it was, especially after the catch by number 19?
No, it was a great run by Mike Williams, and also a great sort of improv. You know, we set up and running quick play action, third down, trying to get the ball to Eric Lorig. He's covered. They covered our corner route. Mike frontside had kind of a hitch, but he ran it, and I mean everybody's kind of covered, so the O-line did a great job giving me some time. And then Mike saw open field to the left, took off, and I just dumped it to him, and I mean he did the rest.
To quarterback, is that a good feeling when you're watching your guy work down the field? I mean, he went a good distance away from you. Were you having to watch on the video board, or did you still have a good vantage point on him making the cutback and all that?
No, I had a great vantage point, you know, being down on the field. And once he takes off, you know, everything kind of opens up. And, no, that was an amazing cutback. You start thinking when you see it closing down, you're like, all right, we're going to have whatever first and 10 from 13 or first and goal, and start thinking about the calls that are going to be called next. And then he breaks a tackle and scores, and it's a really good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Hey, you've been around him now. He had a breakout rookie year. Part of a successful offensive year, obviously. He had the best rookie receiving year in team history 2 years ago. By his own admission, he struggled some in 2011. What's been one of the keys? Now, you've been around him for 3 seasons. What's been one of the keys or a couple of the keys to Mike Williams having what has been a good bounce-back year for him in 2012, Josh?
You know, I mean, he's just playing football like he plays football. You know, there's no secret. You know, Mike's always been a hard worker. I think the addition of Vincent really opened up a lot of things for Mike. You know, when you have two guys that are playing at an extremely high level, it causes a lot of problems for secondaries, and it really changes up the whole dynamic as far as how a defense is going to play you. And when you put Vincent on the other side, and they play off each other extremely well.
All right, you ready to go to the phones, see what some of the fans have to say here on Total Access? Why not, huh? Let's do it. Here is Carol in St. Pete up first with us tonight on Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman. Hey, Carol.
Hi, I can't believe I'm first. I talked to Josh at the beginning of the season, and I told him how proud I was when we were making all those wins. But I want him to know that I'm still very proud of him, especially since there has been some losses. I listen to the games, whether they're on 620 or on the TV, and some of the losses were so close, like with the Falcons. I am a Georgia resident, but I'm not a Falcon fan. But they were so close, they almost couldn't be called losses, as far as I looked at it, but they were. And I want to tell Josh going into the new season that I'm behind them. I've never been critical, and I think since I'm a fan and other people are fans, they should give it their all to support the team and Josh.
No, well, thank you, and I appreciate that, and I know the team appreciates it, and yeah, and I mean we're working hard, and it has been a tough stretch here the past few weeks, but you know the thing is nobody's hanging their head. Guys are continuing to fight, and you know, hoping to go out and finish this thing on a high note.
You know, I have been here, and I say this all the time. I've been here, and I was a Buccaneer fan long before I was in the media, Josh, 30 years ago. I'm an older guy than I look. You know that about me. And there's been great debate constantly about the Bucs and the quarterback and can you get it done, you know, with this guy, or are you going to get – I mean, going all the way back to Doug Williams and then Steve Young and on and on, Vinny Testaverde and Trent Dilfer and then Brad Johnson. That debate has been going on endlessly. As the guy that's in the middle of that debate, just tell me, you know, kind of what that's like to play the position, to be in this market, and, you know, to have the debate going on, is this the guy? What's it like for you?
You know, it's funny because you get so preoccupied, so tied into your work that you forget that the debate's going on. You know, it's interesting because I was doing my press conference today, and I mean, I'm grinding. I'm working on this Falcons stuff and the game plan and everything. And I mean, it's somebody asks a question, you're like, hang on, what? You know, so it's really that's that sort of stuff. I mean, it doesn't affect the game. I mean, people talking about, oh, can he get it done? Is he the guy? That stuff, as well as, I mean, the flip side, when you're playing well and everybody's saying, this guy's unstoppable. And I mean, the praise and, I mean, the debate, the negative. I mean, none of it affects you. It can affect you if you let it, but none of it's going to help you win games. It's only going to detract from you preparing and you going out and playing.
Is that something over the last 2 or 3 years you've had to learn that, hey, win or lose, I've got to tune it out, because it can be dangerous if they're telling you how great you are and you're listening to it too. I know that's what you just said.
Yeah, no question. You have to. You have to. You definitely, I mean, you see countless examples of guys who are either playing well or playing poorly. And they start buying into the hype, you know, whether it's a good hype or false hype, you know. That never ends well. You know, the only thing that you should be focused on is the thing that's going to make you a better player and going to allow you to go out and play well, and that's your preparation during the week. And you know, the voices you're listening to should be the voices, your coaches, you know, your coaches, your teammates, anything that's going to help you play better or impact your game from a standpoint of playing well on Sundays.
All right, back to the phones here on Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman. Here's Adam in Tampa. You are up next on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Josh and TJ. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Well, kind of a good segue from your conversation just now. I think you guys definitely get too much blame when things are going bad. Probably too much praise at times when they're going good. One of the things about us fans is we don't really know what really happened during a play. You know, a lot of times if you throw a pick, it might have been somebody, you know, ran the wrong route or whatever, and you know, that kind of thing. So I was wondering, as a fan, if you could just help me on one play. When we go back to the Eagles game for just a second, when we took the ball over, there's 3 minutes and 55 seconds on the clock. Immediately, Doug Martin got a first down. At that point, Philly elected to keep their timeout. They still had three. So, clock's running. Clock's down to about 3 minutes and 20 seconds. When we went up to the line of scrimmage, we snapped the ball with 8 seconds left on the play clock. Can you give us a little insight as to why you didn't run the clock down to like 1 or 2 seconds on that play, if you remember it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I wasn't aware of that. I thought we were snapping it at 2 to 3 seconds, but you know, that's interesting. But you know, as far as I know, we were snapping it down below. But I mean, if that was the case, we should have run more time off.
When that's going on, take the fans through what's happening with you. Obviously, you've got Mike Sullivan in communication with you. You may even have Coach Schiano, you know, yelling something out to you there about clock management. Just take us through what's happening there, because there is a lot going on when they're spotting the ball and all that's happening, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, we go into our mode where we are milking the clock and we're trying to run it down. And, you know, usually you want to snap it right around 5 or and let it get below. But, you know, at that point, you're looking to get first downs. And, yeah, we got the first one. We weren't able to convert on the second one, but, yeah, I mean, at that point in the game, I mean, every second's crucial. So, I mean, getting it down to as low as possible, really, I mean, it's like I said, pivotal.
And how much do you guys, because fans are fascinated by this, how much do you guys work on those situations? I know you do work on 4 minutes to go in the game, you know, trying to kill the clock, 2 minutes to go or 1 minute to go, trying to stop the clock on plays. How often do you work on that in a season, in a given week in practice?
You know, we work on it really every Friday. You know, Friday's our 4 minute offense. We install the plays, go through them, and you know, as far as just actually running a 4 minute drill, you know, we do it in camp, but it's kind of, I mean, you're running your plays, so there's not really a whole lot of 4 minute. You'll do some of it in walkthrough, but I mean, in 4 minute, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, live, you know, guys getting tackled. It's hard to really gauge it when you're not taking guys to the ground. All right, is he down? Is he not down? But as far as the procedure, we go over it every week.
You know, it's interesting, and I've watched all kinds of Buccaneer quarterbacks through the years, but it's fun to watch different guys handle things differently. You are tremendously calm in the final minute of games. I mean, I've recounted this numerous times, but the Carolina game's a perfect example where in the final minute there, you guys didn't have a timeout, had to get down the field, had to have a touchdown and a two-point conversion. And the look on your face, the look on those guys around your faces was a look of calm. Again, take us kind of through what's that like when you know I don't have a timeout here, we have scarce time, how aware are you? Is it that it's 30 seconds or 25 seconds or 20 seconds? What is that moment like driving a team down in the final minute, no timeout left, because you've done it frequently in your career?
You're always aware of the clock. And, you know, at that point, it's just getting flustered, getting panicky. I mean, it's not going to help anything. You know, well aware of situation, what the time is, what you need, what you can and can't do from a standpoint of throwing passes. And you know, I just look at it like a great opportunity to go out and make some throws that otherwise you wouldn't have the reins to. You know, you talk about forcing some balls in there and ill-advised throws and things of that nature. And if you want to, in that situation, you got to push the ball downfield a little bit. And I'm fortunate that I have a number of receivers. I mean, I think Taquan started that drive off, and I mean, Vincent obviously finished it. But it's you want to win the game. You know, I want to win worse than anybody. And I know that my teammates want to win. And basically getting yourself in a state of mind that's anything but cool, calm, and collect, which is where you can just think and see clearly. I mean, when you're flustered, when you're running around, when everything's going all over, I mean, you can't really see stuff and you can't really focus in on what you need to focus in on. So just relaxing. And it's, I mean, I love playing football. I love winning. And I, you know, I love winning with my teammates. And it's, you know, it's really easy to keep my cool because, I mean, that gives me the best chance to win.
All right, back to the phones again. Here's Fred in Brandon on Buccaneers Total Access here with Josh Freeman. Hey, Fred.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I want to say first, I'm a season ticket holder, and Josh, I appreciate all the help that you give us. I think you're doing great with the team, but I would like to tell you, you know, I spent a lot of money on season tickets. I'm behind you, but you really got to take us with a back to the next season with a win. We simply cannot go into the next season with six losses straight. It will do wonders for this town and for our support for the Bucs over the off season if you guys can go into Atlanta and kick your rival's butt and bring it home.
Yeah, Fred, I really appreciate that, man. And trust me, we're doing everything we possibly can. You know, there's absolutely no quit on this team. And you know, Rondé came out and as we were breaking it down, I mean, he kind of put it in perspective about nobody outside of the Buck Nation really is going to give this game any credit. But you know, we got to get a win. You know, this is our last opportunity. And I love it. I appreciate all your support, season ticket holder. I think that's awesome, dude. And you know, we're going to go, we got a great plan. And I know the guys, myself, been preparing awfully hard, and we're ready to go out and end the season on a high note.
I know that Gerald McCoy was talking last night, and a couple of the other guys have been talking about last week and this week, that this is a way to start the 2013 season for you guys. That's the way you're looking at it, or at least that's what they were saying they were looking at it as. Start the 2013 season right now at the end of 2012, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's what better way to catapult you into the off season, preparing to go out and do the things that – the goals that we're going to set next year, then to finish on a win, you know, get some momentum going into the off season. And you know, there's always a little added pep, you know, especially in the beginning stages of the off season. And when you go out on a win.
That's the voice of Josh Freeman. We will pause here. Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number. We will pause here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the wrap-up to the Christmas holiday, see if Josh got anything cool or gave anything cool for Christmas. And, we might have to get to the Fiesta Bowl. Kansas State involved. Oregon Ducks, where a guy named LeGarrette Blount went involved. We might have to get into that a little bit, too, as well as talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Stay with us on this Thursday night. It is Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back in here with number five, Josh Freeman, on this Thursday, final game of 2012 with the Atlanta Falcons coming up. All right, before we get back to the phone calls, so Christmas holiday spirit going on all over the place. Good Christmas, by the way, for you and Freeman family and friends and everybody. I know it's a work week, but everything good with Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tuesday was, it fell on a perfect day, being an off day, and I had all my family in town, some relatives from up north, and it was an awesome day, relaxing day. I probably ate way too much, but it was great to kick back and spend some quality family time.
All right, so you didn't have too much of a dessert, but what did you have a bite of that was good? Pumpkin pie? Come on. Total access. Come on.
I was destroying cinnamon rolls all
morning.
Don't
say destroying. That could get you into trouble. Say I sampled.
I sampled in large amounts cinnamon rolls.
And then ran them off extra hard. I like that. All right, so Gerald McCoy's talking about this airplane that his dad got him. He said it's the coolest thing ever, a something 2.0. And maybe Eric Sachs, who's producing for me, and I can remember what it's called, a something 2.0 airplane, that he was flying around the kitchen, and he actually has already gotten in trouble with the fiance without her knowing it because he damaged one of the chairs in the kitchen because he flew it into the chair. So did you get anything cool this time for Christmas, or was it clothes, or anything good? I mean, fans love this kind of stuff. Do you get anything?
No, I got a few cool shirts from my brother. The thing I was most fired up about was a vacuum.
A vacuum.
But it was a handheld vacuum, and I'm not going to mention any brand names, but I had one previously, and I'm kind of a neat freak, I had one previously, and the suction just wasn't that great. And, without me even putting it on my list, my parents recognized my need. And
wow.
And Santa knew what I needed. And
Santa always knows. Santa always knows that you needed a vacuum.
Yeah. And it's I was fired up.
He came through with a vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
We have broken news tonight on Total Access that Josh Freeman's big Christmas gift from Santa and for the holidays, a vacuum, here tonight on the program. All right. I promise we'll get to other stuff involving football, but I wanted to digress there for a minute. But it's a great time to be around family and have the holidays and the Christmas season and all of that. So that's good enough. All right. To the phones. Here is Justin in Pennsylvania, I'm told. You are next with Josh Freeman on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey there.
Hey, Josh and TJ. Hope you guys had a good Christmas.
Hey, what's up, Justin?
Hey, Josh, I just wanted to say, you're our quarterback. You're the only quarterback that I want to play for us. And, I'm glad you're here, and I hope we keep you for a long time. But I also wanted to ask about your training. Like, I know in the offseason you got a lot of obligations, but I was wondering, like, do you go back to Kansas City mostly, or do you stay in Tampa? Or, like, could you explain that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The thing about the off season, like you said, there are a lot of things going on, different events. And last year, Donald Penn got married, so I headed out to California for a little while. You're kind of bouncing all over, but primarily I like to be in Tampa. If there's no obligation. Yeah, I'm going to go home and spend a little family time, spend some time with people I grew up with. But, for the most part, I like to be here. And the main reason is a lot of our receivers live around here, and guys are kind of in and out of town and wanting to work out. And the thing about the off season and conditioning while you're conditioning on your own, it's just developing a routine, So when you develop a routine, it's really hard to break. So you get up every morning, you go for your run, and then you go out, hit the weight room, and then go throw, and that's kind of how you do it. You knock it out in the morning, and you know, when you're not in routine, then you tend to maybe want to sleep in a little bit, and next thing you know, it's the afternoon, and
you're sample about, cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, sample cinnamon rolls, and you're about to you're gonna go work out, but then somebody calls and says, "Hey, you want to go to the pool?" And you're like, all right, I'll just work out after the pool." So you go to the pool, and then you end up only getting a little bit of a workout in, when in actuality, had you just knocked it out in the morning, you could have got your entire thing in. And so I like to stay in Tampa, develop a routine, and I get my entire workout in.
You know, something interesting, and Mike Williams was talking about this a couple of different times this year, and you know where I'm going with this. In 2011, you guys were locked out as players, couldn't be around the facility, couldn't get treatment, couldn't use the weight room, had to do stuff on your own. Just speak to what a difference it was this go around to get used to being around Doug Martin, to get used to Vincent Jackson, Mike Sullivan's new offense, to have access to the facility, access to the weight room, to treatment, anything that you needed in and around one buck, and what a difference that made, Josh.
It makes a huge difference, especially with a new staff and a new system. And yeah, you got Doug coming in, you got Vincent coming in, and the tough thing about not having access to the facility is guys, they don't have all the necessary resources, like you said, a trainer and putting workouts together. A lot of guys can't really, I mean, it's really tough to manage having a place where you live and then having a place in Tampa without, I mean, all the coaches and without work and without the off-season workout paychecks and things like that. So it just makes it really tough to keep everybody together and consistently train and consistently go out and I'll work on the offense. But, you know, compared to the lockout, you know, this is it's much better.
All right, back to the phone. Steve has been waiting in Venice. He's a big Bucks fan. Here's Steve with Josh Freeman on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey there.
Hey, Josh. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Good. First off, thank you. I drove up from Venice for the game. I was fortunate to get tickets, and you signed my son's autograph in the morning. We had to get there at 9 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock kickoff, but you signed it. Thank you. I'm just hanging there. I know you don't listen to media. I listen to sports radio all the time, and you're getting ripped, and I get pissed all the time. It's not your fault. Just do what you're doing, okay?
Hey, I appreciate that. And that's
I don't know if you had anything else there. But thank you anyway, Steve. Go ahead, Josh.
That's great, and you know, that's awesome to hear that from an outsider, and that's kind of what you got to do. You know, nothing going on, like I said earlier, around surrounding football, no matter what it is, it's gonna impact you in a positive way or a negative way. You know, it's only gonna detract from your overall preparation, overall focus. So. You know, I just try to keep everything in perspective, continue to work, and try to be the best quarterback I can be.
You know, you look at the last couple of games where you've had 8 interceptions, and people start looking at that and saying, "What's going on there?" If you had to put your finger on something, because you only had 8 interceptions in the first 13 games, is it a freak thing that there's been that many the last 2 games, or is there something that you're looking at saying, "I need to be better here"? Because fans want to know this. Outsiders, you know, are wondering, you know, what one of those reasons might be, if you have any, or what do you think?
It's both. You know, I'm always going to look at myself, you know, point the finger inward. You know, what can I do to take these away? And you know, like you said, you had 8 the first 13 games, and you have 2 games where you match your 13 game total, you know, and it really, sitting there Sunday night, Monday, you're kind of scratching your head and you're really like, wow, it's kind of, what the heck just happened? And it's because it's the preparation. And I talked about this throughout the season, that each week we try to build upon our preparation and the preparation. I mean, we've been out there just grinding, working, and, you know, it's been a combination. You know, sometimes Maybe a pass gets away from you sometimes. Yeah, for whatever the reason is, you know, it's just been way too many, especially for a two-game stretch, and I don't anticipate ever having a two-game stretch like this as long as I'm playing.
And I know the head coach was saying this, and this is the truth. When you look at the stretch where this team was putting out tremendous offense for four or five games, one of the things he honed in on is how well the offense and you were taking care of the ball, giving yourself chances. You cannot overestimate enough that don't give it away is a big key to success on offense. Keep control of the ball. Keep control of the clock. Make your plays. Don't give it away, and you increase your chance to succeed tremendously, obviously, right?
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, that's the largest stat, you know, associated with winning is the turnover margin. You know, most any team you look at, I mean, when they're behind in the turnover margin, or I'm talking game to game, you know, their winning percentage is a lot lower.
All right, one more before the timeout here. Here is Pete in Tampa. You are next on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Pete.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. You know, Josh, I don't like mentioning players that aren't with us anymore, but it seemed like Dez Briscoe was a good slot receiver. How important is that position? And also, you know, you see the NFL has gone to, like, these tight ends that are 6'6", 6'7", 6'5", guys, and how important is it to get a guy? It seems like every game that I watch, and I'm nowhere near an expert, but it seems like every game I watch, these linebackers are just sitting in a certain slot, or their defensive the ends are peeling off and covering guys, and then they're rolling the corners and safeties are rolling coverage to Vincent and Williams, and I just wanted to see how important was it a good seam guy that could come across. You know, come across the middle or even run a middle route. I wish you the best of luck, man. Have a great off season and a happy new year.
Thanks, right, man. You know, as far as Dez Briscoe, I mean, yeah, he is a very good receiver, and I mean, I valued my time playing with him. I know the guys in Washington, from what I hear, I mean, really enjoying having him a part of the team. But you know, our team was obviously heading in a direction that didn't involve Briscoe, and so we got additions like Tyquan Underwood, and I think Tyquan's really, really done an excellent job. You know, coming onto our team, you know, he came out the same year as me. It was funny. We actually trained together in Arizona at API, and so I got to know Ty, and now he's a great guy. But him coming in, you know, he hadn't really been featured. You know, been a guy that, and I mean, this year he's done a lot of great things, you know, made a lot of big plays for us, scored some key touchdowns, and, you know, I like what we got going on at the slot. And then as far as tight ends, you know, when you mention receiving tight ends, you know, I don't care when this happens, but talking about guys that have had some of the greatest careers at tight end, you know, they're going to mention Dallas Clark, yeah, that we have. And you know, early on in the year, he wasn't really getting as many balls, and everybody was kind of wondering. But Dallas, you know, he's such a talented guy. You know, for an old guy. No,
here we go.
No, Dallas is he's unbelievable. You know, the efficiency, the way he goes about his business, making these catches. You know, some of the catches he makes are incredible.
That catch Sunday, I know you saw it on the film and the fans saw it, you know, if they saw the highlight of it, it was behind him, right? And he just kind of reached up and stabbed it with one hand.
On which one?
There was one where you were throwing across to him, and I think it was Sunday, but they all run together at the moment. But he reached behind him kind of out in the flat and just caught a ball, just a stab. And you said, you know, when you're watching that, vintage Dallas Clark there to make a one-handed catch.
Oh, yeah.
If it's around him, he's going to get it, right?
Yeah, no, that was the one where I had to get it out. Yeah, you know, I remember that. And it was kind of, I didn't even see him catch it. I just kind of threw it, trying to anticipate where he was going to come out. And, you know, right as he turned on film, the ball was right on him, you know, right on him. And I mean, I know I couldn't make a catch like that, and I don't know many guys that could, but, I mean, he made it.
You said old guy. I mean, Mike Williams says that the receivers call him Grandpa, and you're laughing. You haven't busted a grandpa on him, have you?
No, of course not.
But the receivers apparently, and Mike says he calls him grandpa. I guess Mike can get away with that. He says, that's my grandpa. I'm just saying. That's, you know,
no,
put it out there.
I guess, I mean, Dallas does kind of have a, I don't know, kind of a fathering presence, I guess. You know, him and Rondé. But it's definitely a good thing. And I mean, for grandpa, he's still pretty young, you know, vibrant, you know, he's got some great jokes, funny guy, great sense of humor, but no, Dallas is, unbelievable, unbelievable character, unbelievable man. And, you know, it's, I'm proud to have him as a teammate.
All right. The voice of Josh Freeman. We need to pause here. We'll come back one final time here. Talk a little more about the Falcons. I got to get to the Fiesta Bowl, too. Kansas State and Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that coming up here in just a second. Final edition of Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman before the season wraps up Sunday in Atlanta. We'll be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
Remaining moments with number five here on Buccaneers Total Access. Final time of 2012. Bucs and Falcons Sunday will wrap up the regular season in Atlanta. More on that in a moment. We'll get back to another call or two if we have time here in just a second, but I got to get to Fiesta Bowl to be played next week. Somebody's Kansas State Wildcats against the Oregon Ducks. Those would be LeGarrette Blount's Oregon Ducks. There are several of these bowl games. I know that Mason Foster and Doug Martin were going back and forth about Washington versus Boise State in a bowl. We got Texas A&M, Michael Bennett's team, Gerald McCoy's Oklahoma Sooners. We got your Wildcats and LeGarrette Blount's Ducks. Do we have a thought on the Fiesta Bowl, on what might happen there? You and LeGarrette kind of going back and forth about that game real quick?
No, my thought is that the Cats are going to roll.
I'm sure that's not his thought, but that's your thought.
No, definitely not. And he's actually, he's approached me a couple times, you know, with a couple thoughts. But
to warn him, you don't want any part of this?
It's like, you don't want any part of the Cats. We call them geese. So, LeGarrette, you don't want any part of them. But he's, you know, it's funny because obviously Oregon's got the team that they have, and the Cats, I mean, we got some guys that are freaking monsters too, but nobody, they don't get the national publicity. But I will tell you why, the single biggest reason why Kansas State's going to win this game.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention.
Two words. Bill Snyder.
Mm.
Point blank. He's gonna have these guys so ready, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I don't think I'm going to make it down. I know I got a bunch of guys that I played with back in the day that are going to make the trek down to Arizona. But, you know, I'll be here in Tampa still doing some review stuff. So,
all right.
It'll be I'm fired up about the game. I'm really proud of their quarterback, Colin Klein, and the season he's had. And the type of guy that he is off the field, and the type of player that he's grown into. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch him.
Yeah, the nation's gotten to know him, and obviously with the notoriety of Kansas State being in the top five and undefeated much of the year, and him being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So, it's interesting how these things work out. I think that's going to be a very entertaining game all the way around. Going to be a fun game to watch. What do I know? Might end up being 7-6, but that should be a good game.
I don't think that's ever going to be the case when you got Chip Kelly calling the plays.
Yeah. If Oregon's held to 6 points, that is a shocker. But Bill Snyder, again, does it amaze you? I think he's 72 now, 72 years of age, still coaching and still getting it done. So I know you have a lot of respect for him. All right, quickly, here is Doug, who's been waiting on the phones in Clearwater. Doug, you're up with Josh Freeman here on Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, it's been a rough year for you, rough year for the Bucs and rough year for the fans. Yeah, I look at the wins that we had this season, and we only had one win against a winning team. And that Saints game, I thought you were going to, you know, blow it up in that Saints game in the good direction, because their pass defense is one of the worst in the NFL. You know, you look at some of your stats, you don't have any rushing touchdowns this year. Tom Brady's got 4 rushing touchdowns. You know, I was a big, big supporter of you back in 2010, 2009. And I want to see this last game, well, this next game in Atlanta. Everything out on the line for you tomorrow or Sunday, because you know we as a community we need something to grip to as a buck, and that's usually the quarterback. And the play that we've seen the last 2 years has not been something that we can wrap our arms around and say we're gonna be with you right till the end.
All right. Well, what do you have to say there? Go ahead.
It's interesting thought, you know, and appreciate, I mean, all the fans' perspectives. But, you know, this Sunday, yeah, I mean, we're going to go out and give it everything we got. You know, we've been giving everything we got up to this point, you know, in preparation and other games. This is a game that we definitely aren't taking lightly. And the playoffs are out of reach, but we're giving it all we got.
And I should point out here, too, for Doug and for all the audience and for everybody else, that, you know, back in October, right after that Saints game, this team, this offense, these players that we're talking about collectively put together the four greatest weeks in Buccaneer history in 37 years of Buccaneer football in terms of yards per game and points per game over those four games, including the Super Bowl year and even going back to the heyday of Doug Williams and Kevin House and James Wilder back in the early 80s, which, you know, it even predates Josh Freeman way back in the 80s. The Fogies all remember that. So you guys obviously showed some ability to score some points and to move the ball, and that's something to build on, not just for this Sunday, but for 2013, what you were able to do at times this season in this offense, right?
Yeah, no question. And we've got a lot of working parts, a lot of capable parts, a lot of very talented players, you know, all across the board. And I know a lot of people want to point the finger and say that it was, oh, you guys lost big pieces of your O-line. You lost some big pieces on defensive line and this and that. But, you know, we're family regardless. You know, we're a team that's going to stick together and play to the very end regardless. And, I mean, no excuses, you know, no explanations. It's you know, we're going to give it all we got, you know, till the end. And it's a shame that this is the end we're going to have after Sunday's game. But, you know, we're going to make the most of it.
The Falcons have the number one seed wrapped up. And so we don't really know. And you know, who knows? Mike Smith is the coach. And how much they play their starters on both sides of the ball remains a mystery. Does that make it a little different in preparation that, you know, you may have different guys out there, guys that you may not be familiar with? Do you prepare any differently? How do you prepare, I guess, is the question, when a lot of their starters may not play, maybe even in the first half of this game, they may start pulling some guys out. Josh, what about it?
You know, not so much, because they're still going to run their offense in their defense, excuse me. Yeah, they're going to run both of them. We've been talking all week, Coach. It's up, and it's the thing is, with a first round bye, you know, they don't want their guys sitting for 2 weeks. I guarantee you that. And so we're preparing to play against their starters. And another interesting thing is, you know, their home record is unbelievable. And I'd be hard pressed to feel that they're just gonna come in and lie down because they got the playoffs, you know, wrapped up in the home field advantage. You know, so we're preparing for the very best they got, and who knows who's going to play when, but regardless, you know, we're going to be prepared.
All right, and one final time here in 2012, what do you want to say to the Buck fans? This is it, the final Total Access here show with you, and this is the final game going to Atlanta, and we come to the end of the 2012 season. What do you want to say to the Buck fans that are out there as we close it out, Josh?
You know, I just want to thank all the Buck fans for their continued support throughout the season, and tell them that we're working, and they're definitely going to be a good game Sunday, and definitely brighter days ahead. And thanks for all the support.
Love
that.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. We will see you obviously on Sunday. Thank you for being willing to sit down every week on the radio. Not every quarterback in the NFL is willing to do that, so thank you and take calls. Thank you for being willing to do that. I know the fans are appreciative, and good luck and go get them Sunday. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, TJ.
There is Josh Freeman. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out here this evening as well, as always, on these Buccaneer Total Access shows. Bucs and Falcons Sunday at 1. We'll be on the air at noon on the Buccaneers Radio Network. For now, we're done with this edition of Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.